You're listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com on WCRS FM 98.3 and 102.1, Central Ohio's only community radio station, a service of the Neighborhood Network and TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or KNE World Network, LLC.
This is Libby. I'm all about wellness. What's it going to take to get you there? This is Libby, heard only on TalkTainmentRadio.com. Radio, the way it should be heard. Where can you be reached? TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio. You're in touch with This is Libby. I'm Libby, and this is radio, the way it should be heard. If you were with me at the table about 7 days ago, I was in the company of some very wonderful and informative men who said this was so good they'd be back this Monday and sit with me at the table. You know what? They showed up. Yes, Kenneth Simpson and Christopher McGee showed up. And I expect that there will be others who said, I will show up. We had a voice going here. I wanted to know how men are wired and what they think and how they feel and how they perceive things like women and men's health. And when it got to the men's health, we stayed there a while because it was so good. They called it keeping it real. So we could say things like, penis, you know, we could say things like the body or discharge or whatever we needed to say, because you know and overstand and understand, if you've been with me here at the table, you are going to talk candidly with Libby and I'm going to talk candidly with you. I love learning as well as teaching. So one of the things I want to do, say hey to you two.
Hello, Libby.
See, there they go, rattling my bones. Let me dig my toes into the carpet here and hold on, because that's the first thing that happens when I'm interacting with men, and I give them their kudos for that. Thank you very much for rattling my bones. What's on your mind, Kenneth? Tell me what's on your mind. Since our last conversation, what thing that stuck with you the most? I talked about feelings, talked about perceptions, your dislikes, your likes, your fears. And one of the things you absolutely put your foot down on is that you pay a physician. They don't control how you handle your body. And when it comes to emotions, you don't allow anyone else to control your emotions, if you can catch it. And you, and men sometimes cry like a girl.
Yes, I heard that. But that's true. The emotion part of it, you know, you try your best to keep your guards up and not let yourself be roped into something that's not going to work well for you. But it don't always work, but you try to do your best at it.
How do you, one of the things, oh, Christopher, if you would, please, I would love it if from time to time you might tell me how you're thinking or feeling about one of the subject matters that I bring up. For instance, when it comes to valuing yourself, what would you tell men about valuing themselves? What does that look like? I know men smell good and they wear nice clothes and they can they get pedicures and manicures like women?
Well, of course. I mean, I don't see any problem with that. I mean, there's some guys like to keep their appearance up, you know, and women like that.
Yes, they do. You know? Yes, they do. A well-manicured man. I love that part. So somebody else has joined us right now. Hello there. This is Libby. How you doing?
I'm pretty good. How about yourself? How's everything?
It's good. Who am I talking with?
Dr. Terry King Bay.
How you doing, Dr. Terry King Bay?
I'm pretty good. Pretty good.
So how I want to ask you a question about valuing yourself. because we have to, we as a people now, have to value you. But they tell me, the old folks say, folks treat you the way you want to be treated, and you should treat them the way you got me, because I think I messed that up. Treat people the way you want to be treated.
Yeah.
And that's what they will do. So if you don't value yourself, how, what are we supposed to do? What does that look like, Dr. Terry?
That looks like that if you don't value yourself, you also will do what you call reverse whatever gifts or blessings that you have to come, as well as your spirit can become tainted. Because you understand, again, the law of, the law of attraction and everything, you can create your own devil spirit, your own evilness, your own future to be eliminated or transformed to something else. And then you're going to be wondering why. You got miserable, you got depression, you got emotions kicking in. Because we don't take our time for ourselves. That's why I tell people it's very important to take our time for yourself, 15 minutes or more a day, to allow you to still cultivate and grab NCD of you, to knowing what to do and how to move forward to better your life.
Okay, so what's the law of attraction? Let's give it to me real quick. What's that? What if I don't know what that is? What is the law of attraction? Can you
that
hear?
Would be,
go ahead.
That would be something like saying that, you know how they say opposite attracts, but the law of attraction also goes on. If you're saying something, you say it so much over and over and time again, you can either manifest that attraction to come, or if your spirit is not right and you're demonic, okay, demonized, that you're not being clear and truthful, you can get the opposite of that attraction.
What is demonic? What's that?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, you said it.
In saying demonic, that's, in my opinion, versus the dictionary, which I had it in the back seat, but in my opinion, demonic is when you know that you're wrong, when you know that you have your own hidden agendas, when you know you have an opposite plan that is to keep a person not demonized, but I want to use...
Help me out here.
Let me think.
Are you trying to control somebody?
In a sense, it's a form of control. It's definitely, in a sense, it's a form of control because you want to have the power. You know, you want to have the Simon Says, per se, type of attitude, being a demonic, being demonically inclined with your own agenda, your own selfish reason, your own self-centeredness.
And so what's happening is using the law of attraction, you can attract, you can literally attract that which you don't want or that which you do want. Is that the short version?
Yes, it is. Very much so.
And with the word intention involved in here, what you intend for yourself and or someone else can manifest for that person or yourself?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
So when we hear scriptures that say, pray ye for one another, then we need to be paying attention to what that prayer actually looks like, right?
Affirmative, yes.
Go ahead, Ken. Ken has a thought. He's shaking his head.
When you use the word demonic, it always brings up thoughts of devils and that type of scenarios. I was just trying to put that into what you was talking about, being the demonic. I mean, I guess if you don't know what type of spirit or type of person you want, then you end up with anything. I guess the old saying is you have to have a direction and know where you're going so you end up where you want to be.
Pretty much. You summed it up in a very short, smooth way, which is good. But again, it still goes back to the very beginning when you started talking. And in that very beginning of what you commented to my comment, my statement, is that a person still got to be truthful and clear within their own self. As going into your piece you just said, that equals out to the answer that you gave, which is real smooth.
So, to thine own self be true. That would be what
Absolutely.
We're talking about?
Yep, that's it.
But then, if somebody taught you information and it's erroneous, then you're thinking that you're being true to yourself when, in fact, you're running on information that's erroneous. Like, for instance,
Absolutely.
We've been taught, I know women have been taught, and I know men have been taught, that you have to work hard to have nice things. You have to work hard to have money. You have to work hard all your life. Is that true, Ken?
I wouldn't say you got to work hard, but in order to accomplish things, you have to work at it. I mean, you're supposed to work smarter and not harder. But, you know, it just depends on, I mean, like, again, I said, it depends on what your plan is and what you got set up to do for yourself.
When do you start making plans?
Early.
When did you start dreaming?
I started dreaming early because I was exposed to so many different things that gave me those thoughts of grandeur or having a nice big car or living in a fine house. I was exposed to those things, as a father. I tried to make sure I exposed my boys to good things when they was coming up, to give them a look at what they can have if they work for it.
If they worked at it as well as work for it.
Exactly, exactly.
So, Dr. Terry, is that what you were raised? Because being raised by men and or women makes a difference in how you look at things. Am I correct?
I was raised by my mom.
Correct. I was raised mostly by my mother and my grandmother, and I had uncles. My father wasn't in my life. And with that being said, it never led me to drinking or smoking because I didn't want to do what everybody else did. I had to be different.
Why?
I saw the ills and the troubles that people cause by doing those things. And what they can't handle themselves behind all of that at the same time. I saw all of that.
Okay, so did you have a thought, Ken? Because I saw you shaking your head. Did you have a thought about being raised? Who raised you?
I was mainly raised by my mom. My mom was the main source in there. But I had a stepfather that was really, I mean, he was from his era, believing men didn't have to wash dishes, do clothes. They just work, they come home.
Oh, Lord.
And you know, I had a little bit of influence of his input in it, but it was my mom. She made sure that I knew how to take care of myself, that I wouldn't have to try to find somebody to cook for me or wash clothes and all that. She made sure that I was dependent on myself and I knew how to handle myself.
So your stepfather had that, he came from that era where a man doesn't wash dishes.
Yeah, he was one of like the old Stone, the song, he was a Rolling Stone, he had other families and other interests outside the house.
Well, it's a reality for a lot of us.
Yes.
It really is.
Yes.
So when it comes down to it, that you don't wash dishes thing don't wash with me very well. But I understand why I'm responding like that.
Yes, that was his mindset. I learned to do the dishes and wash the dishes because I dirtied the dishes. So
correct.
And I taught my boys that at an early age, how to wash their clothes, how to cook, how to clean up after herself.
Mm-hmm. My father was instrumental in teaching all that he could as quickly as he could. One of the things I did notice about Daddy, though, is that he would teach us all to buy a car, but he taught the boys to fix the cars. So I got left out of that part. So I ended up being the one that pays somebody to fix my car. But what I usually do, and I want everybody to know you can do this, and you can do this with anything. I call it getting up under their skirts. First of all, you can call me at 1-877-932-9766 because I want to hear how you're feeling and what you learned from, let's just say, from your father. We're looking at it from a man's point of view, but I do love the fact that my daddy was, he was one of those that if you were willing to watch, he was willing to teach, and he didn't have you watching him work. You worked either with him or he would show you what to do and then he'd send you to do it. Mm. And that is my perception of the men in my family. So the models that I have are, they got some big shoes to fill. But I do admire your mom because I've talked to many men since our last conversation, and that last conversation led me to ask more of those 200 questions because a lot of the men your age, which is what?
58.
Dr. Terry, what's your age? I think he 50, might.
55.
Okay. And Christopher, tell me your age.
56.
Okay. So you guys are all coming through the same era where mom was instrumental for teaching you how to live and dad was teaching you how to provide. Am I correct?
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, so what I'm getting also is that when I depended on daddy, let's just say for advice from he, because he came from that same era where you all are talking about. Daddy told me, he said, you know, when you're ready for your first beer, you come see me. Yeah, come see me. I'm the best person that you can talk to and look at and drink with for your first beer. And I waited until I was ready, and then I went. He sent me to the store to get it. He gave me the money to get it because he was paying. And I sat down. My first beer was with my dad.
Okay.
My first bourbon was with my uncle.
Okay.
And they all had the same mindset. I want you to be treated the way I would treat you. This is what you look for when you look for your boyfriends. If they don't treat you like I do, you don't want to fool with them. If they don't come correct, don't fool with them. If you can't talk to them about a certain subject, don't bother with them. Now, they didn't have any books, guys, right?
Right.
But this is how the men in my life functioned. So that's what I looked for when I got older. And I'm still looking at that way. Wonderful models. And I have men friends all over the place who are still very good models. So when we talk about your model, what is it that you would say that your children who are grown, right? All of you grown?
You grown.
Grown?
Yeah.
Grown. Dr. Terry, do you have children?
Yes, I have daughters. I have three daughters. They all are grown.
Wow. Daddy's girls, right?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to talk about daddy's girls. But what I want to do right now is share something with all of you because I think this is important. At this point, I like to brag about the talk team and hosts because there's so much programming here that you can enjoy. And one of those, based on our conversation today, is called Men Speak. So you join hosts Richard Lundy and Brother Kamari as they discuss the issues that are relevant to the lives of Black men. You won't want to miss these two no-holds-barred, riveting conversations that are designed to stir the intellect and the ambitions of Black men in the diaspora. Broadcast Tuesday on TalkTainmentRadio.com. It is a serious, serious show, and yet you can learn so much in such a short time. So men are speaking today. The models that you had as fathers, what were the best points? And then what were the weaker points? What was the best point?
My father was my stepfather. I didn't really grow up with my real father. I met him later in life. But my stepfather, which I was around most of some of the time, he was a strictly hard worker, provider. He took care of everything pretty much. Always had great, great Christmases. And, I mean, he showed me the things about working and getting things done and making your money and providing for your family.
Okay, that get things done is a model that I had for most every man in my life as a child, teenager, and even a grown person. They got things done. Christopher, was it that way for you with your dad? You have to answer me. No. No. Okay, well, tell me. Stay in the mic so I can hear your voice.
No. My perception is way different from yours.
Okay, and that makes sense, because
I didn't feel the same way.
Okay.
You know.
Okay.
He was there, but he wasn't there.
Gotcha.
And not, you know, trying to say nothing bad about him or anything like that, but as far as teaching,
yes,
you had to watch. He wasn't going to tell you.
Exactly.
For me.
Okay, exactly.
You know, so.
That's the way it was with our men. We also have someone else joining us. Hey, this is Libby. How you doing?
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. And I'm glad you joined us. You've been listening to us for a while?
I definitely have.
Okay. Do you have some insights right now?
I do, actually. I would like to address Brother Kane and his comment that you had right before the current conversation regarding regarding the work ethic.
Okay, work ethic.
Yes. I have to agree. It is not about working hard, it's working smart. And having that drive and that influence to do so when you do work. And I think if a lot of our children today are brought up with that same ethic, we could probably have a lot more successful youth if they work smarter and not harder. Also, my comment to the current conversation, I am not as old as everyone else. However, with my upbringing, I was raised in a family where the women take care of their men. You just do. You take care, you make sure that they are all right, that they are well enough to go out and work and bring things home. You take care of the home. You take care of the children. You take care of the bills. You make sure everything is all right. So then his mind is clear. Then he's got no worries, and he can go to work, and he can do what he needs to do, or has to do, or whatever the thing is, to be able to come home pretty much stress-free outside of what is going on at work. So even though you're his backbone at home, you're also his strength when he goes to work.
This is really good stuff. The world of men and women relationships would be ever so much better.
It's different like that in other countries.
Would you say, Terry?
It's different like that in other countries, in other upbringings. That's the way they're taught. You know, that's how it is for them.
What you're saying. So do you feel that we're not doing that in the United States?
Oh, we're not really doing it in the United States because the man, especially man of us, I mean, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it, but there should have been a little more critiquing to it. Like I said, for me, my mother and grandmother was my inspiration. I had a stepfather who had two other daughters, and he had to take care of them, you know, through the court system. And he looked after my mother and her three kids before my little brother came. So my experience is, here's a man that worked hard. Here's a man that did what he had to do. He worked two jobs. So from that point, I pushed harder at trying to have my very own and get anything that I wanted to get. You know, my mother took me to my first bank account at 16 years old, a Cleveland Trust Bank. I opened my first savings, my first clothing account. It was a place called Rosenblum. My mother guided me there. My uncles all had nice cars, worked jobs, all, you know what I'm saying? And they all dressed sharp, and I wanted to be sharp like them. You know, so, you know, I had a lot of stuff around me. It's just that if you're not introduced to family values, that you get together every week, go to Big Mama's house or whatever, you sit down at the dinner table at a certain time, those things, what's happening with the children today, that they are lost screwballs or loose bolts in their head because those things are structured as sitting down and being still to cultivate their
lives. I have to disagree. I do not completely agree with that, merely because I think it is not so much as not being instilled, because a lot of children today are continuously... Majority of the U.S. children are brought up by their grandparents and the elders in their family who still have that exact ethic in them of teaching little girls to be in the kitchen and teaching those little boys to go out and shovel the snow and do all of those sort of things. However, I also believe that it does take a village to raise children. And I think society, as far as... let's just say radio, television, all of those sort of things have such an impact on our youth today that it becomes a cooler thing when they see, oh, everybody else is doing this over here. Everybody else isn't really embracing what my grandmother or my great-grandmother is trying to teach me. So instead of being a stand-up child and listening to the people that are bringing them up. They are listening and paying more attention to the strong influences they have on television, to the strong influences they have when they listen to the radio. I mean, literally, your children can't even watch cartoons nowadays. So I don't think that it's necessarily just the children. It's an influence as a whole outside of the people that are really trying to guide them in the right direction. Once your children leave your house, all you can do is pray. They'll continue to listen to what you taught them.
Yes, yes, because you have to prepare them to leave the house starting exactly. at a very, very young age. You have to get them ready to deal with all the different scenarios and different people. Because
right.
once you leave the house, that's it. You're on your own.
And right.
I want to say this one thing. Nowadays, it seems like you said, the grandparents are raising the kids because their kids are all either they're young, having all these babies, mm-hmm. and it falls back on the grandparents, and it's becoming. I've seen a lot of grandparents. My aunt's like that. She's coming yeah. overwhelmed. In her golden years, she's stuck with trying to raise grandkids.
Right.
And possibly have to go back to work to try to have more money in.
Right.
It's just the changing times. And a lot of kids now are stuck with the TV, and the parents are trying mm-hmm. to work, and they got the TV is babysitting and watching them. And it's not showing them anything. It's just giving them these visuals, these entertainment, more or less. And they're living through that.
Well, my what I'm hearing right now is that parenting is shifted to media. And when I know I'm a dinosaur, but we used to go outside and play,
yes.
which meant you had to use your imagination.
Well, you got exercise. Nowadays, the kids don't even, they're on the computer, they're sitting there with these games, wrapping their brain with these violent games. And I mean, with what you put in, eventually you take some of that food, that stuff, yeah. and you act out with it, you know.
They do that. They don't get no instruction. As for me, I left home at 16 years old.
Go ahead.
When I left home, I was 16 years old in 11th grade, going to an all-boys school, Benedictine. And I still had to finish my school, and I finished school, and I moved forward on into the entertainment.
Right.
And from there, I just continued to move forward and continue to make life work for me.
And so are our children prepared to make life work for them?
No.
Not all children. I mean, you can't. I don't think I want to make a broad statement. All kids is not right. getting what they're supposed to. But a lot of the kids are not getting the attention and that they need. I mean, when I was coming up, I used to hear the old timers say, when I was coming up, it was like this and it was like that. And now that I am 58, I had the best of everything. I had jobs to go to when I was in junior high, to work in the pig. You had recreation centers to go to. You had a lot of stuff to do. But nowadays in the summer, some recreation centers are not open. The swimming pools are closed. There's nothing for the kids to do.
Right.
And not only that, you have, considering that there are a lot of elders raising these young children, they do miss on them a little bit because the elders are tired.
Yes.
They're children. They've done their job.
Yes.
They have not gotten a rest, and they're tired.
Oh, yes.
Children that they are taking care of have to miss out on a lot of things because their grandparents don't have the energy to do it, and their parents or somewhere wanting to be hip-hop mom.
Yes, still out there trying to be in the streets, exactly.
But see, all that still goes back to emotions. Everything still connects to an emotion. So when all that happens, you got that hip-hop mom, there's something that happened in her life that caused her to feel she want to make up for it. There's something that's happening with the grandparent that feels she got to do this because where she was upbrought, that the family must not break apart, so they're going to help raise their child.
Okay, but everybody's got a story.
Yes.
Everybody on the planet has got a story. It does not matter what walk of life you've come from.
Exactly.
Everybody's got a story. So if that is the case, we'd all be messed up. Every single one of us.
She sounded like Oprah said everybody got a story.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
She's telling the truth.
She is.
And one of the issues that bothers me about the media parenting our children is that we don't have a whole lot of control about what they're telling them. However, we can at least go to the television and decide what it is they're going to watch. And some children, and I've noticed this, they have to have a device in their hand. Man, when we had the blizzards, oh my God, so many babies were produced because folks just didn't have anything else to do. The electric was off, and oh my goodness, the children were losing their minds because they didn't have social media, they didn't have the games that they played, you know, and it's not just the children, it is grown people who were making those babies. You know, because they didn't have anything else to do. And I guess they used that as an excuse to stay warm. But you had to get creative during the blizzard. You had to know how to cook without microwave. You had to know how to open a can without an electric can opener. Who knew that you can go out and put stuff on the grill in the dead of winter because you were hungry? And you know that commercial, and don't respond out loud. You know a sandwich ain't a sandwich. You know, well, if the refrigerator is down and that stuff goes sour, you don't have that. So teaching your children by spending time with the elders worked for the good. I mean, you had to watch. This, just like Christopher said, you had to watch in order to learn. And I think we're all pretty comfortable to say that within our age brackets that we're in here, that thing still existed. I'm concerned about the ones following us, unless they listen to me or they listen to you all. Can y'all grill?
Oh, yes, 100%. 100%.
I grill vegan style, too.
How?
Vegetarian style.
Okay, Christopher, you grinning because you can get down, right, Christopher?
Chef Christopher.
I'm not a griller. I'm a cook in the kitchen woman.
Oh, this is so good. TalkTainmentRadio.com. Check us out on WCRS FM 98.3. Wednesday and Sunday evenings, blogs and podcasts are available. Download TalkTainmentRadio.com app to your cell or tablet. We go where you go. Radio, the way it should be heard. Stay right there. This is some good stuff on TalkTainmentRadio.com.
We can give you a new heart.
We can help you walk again.
We can perform brain surgery.
We can treat a sore throat.
We can bring life into the world.
We can work so many miracles, but the one thing we cannot do is read your mind.
When you communicate with your doctor,
when you ask us more questions,
you reduce your risk of suffering a medical mistake.
Tens of thousands of lives are lost every year due to medical mistakes.
The healthcare community is working on it, but you can help.
Please, open up. Ask more questions.
What are the side effects?
When should I expect my test results?
Will this medication interact with my other prescriptions?
We can't answer if you don't ask.
Help reduce your risk.
Questions are the answer.
Learn the 10 questions you must ask. Visit www.ahrq.gov. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, the Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality, and the Ad Council.
Goodwill is a global social services enterprise and the leading nonprofit provider of job training programs and career services in the United States and Canada. To pay for its program, Goodwill sells donated clothes and other household items in more than 2,700 stores and online at shopgoodwill.com. Goodwill uses the revenue earned from these sales to fund job training, employment placement services, and other community programs. The goal of the campaign is to increase goods donations to Goodwill, inspire an emotional connection to the Goodwill brand, and to elevate preference for Goodwill. Will.
Every day I wake up at 5 to give Dad his medicine. Every day I wake up at 5 to give Dad his medicine. At 6 I make his breakfast. Every day I wake up at 5 to give Dad his medicine. At 6 I make his breakfast. At 7 I shower. Every day I wake up.
For those caring for a loved one, we hear you. That's why AARP created a community to help us better care for ourselves and the ones we love. Visit aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
You are now listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com and WCRS 98.3 and 102.1 FM, Central Ohio's only community radio station, a service of the Neighborhood Network and TalkTainmentRadio.com.
We've got the power. TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio. That's radio the way it should be heard. I'm Libby, and you're listening to This Is Libby. And with us is Brother Kenneth Simpson, Brother Christopher McGee, Brother Terry, Dr. Terry King Bay, a sister's on the line with us. Thank you so much, dear, for your insights. And I'm telling you that this is good stuff right here. We're talking about the way men look at things, men's health, keeping it real. We're talking about parenting our children. Now, this is what I got to ask you, one of my 200 questions. What can you explain to a sister? Maybe two, maybe more. 1-877-932-9766. Call me and see if you can help me with this question. Why are our men content to let somebody else raise their children? I've heard it from over and over again. How is it that these women, I'm going to say these women because it's broad, allow men to come into their world and the lives of their children, and they get miss everything? You can go on social media and they are beating the children, raping the children, and the fathers are not there. What's how you feel about this? Don't it give you the all overs?
Well, in my case, I wanted to make sure I broke the cycle that I was living around with having kids before you was married and all that. I didn't want to be in that cycle because when I was young, I had stepbrother brothers, and when I was about 13, they had girls coming to the door. When they were 16, talking about you got some Pampers and all of this and all that. And right. I just didn't want that for my kids because I was a product of an unwed mother.
Right.
And I didn't want that. I wanted to make sure I was there for my kids to protect them and that they could be able to get through everything with the right type of guidance if possible.
Why do you think it's okay for brothers to just walk away from their children? Well, we all got a story, right, sister?
That's right.
Okay, so yeah. Why? Why do they just? Why can they feel like they can just do that?
Well,
it's easy.
It's easy for them to do it, especially when they know that the woman can move forward and somebody else is in her life. This man don't want to take the responsibility. He comes short because he figures it's an easy way out and it's a better way for him to get himself back together. But at the same time, they never come back around to their child.
But
and
that doesn't sound like the definition of a man that we talked about last week.
No, it's some not. Men, though. We got
some men. I got it. I got that part. Some men. Yeah. Some men.
But see, the thing I can look at here is when you have children and a woman is in the relationship with that child's father.
Right.
And the man goes on and he's still trying to be in that child's life. The women sometimes play games big time, and they go out their way to prove a point to the next guy and brush off that guy and tell that guy a bunch of lies about the father. So this man gets the wrong information, because that's what happened to me with one of my daughters.
Okay, hold on. Sister girl, what'd you say?
That would be why you become a little wiser. You pick a little wiser. You don't lay down with every cute face that you run across.
Right. You're right.
This would be where that selection come in. Yes. You are who you surround yourself with. You have to use just a little bit of that wisdom your elders gave you and pick the right kind of women. Because if you choose to just say, oh, well, she's cute, okay, we can go that way. Or she talked to me nice, so she must be a nice person. Take your time. Stop trying to jump into bed with every single cute face you run across.
Sister, you sound so strong for a lot of sisters of what is missing for the sisters. But I want to ask you, is it okay to ask you how old are you?
I'm 38 years old.
38, and with the wisdom on your head on your shoulders like that, that means what's deep in you rootedly is what's missing in all of the young girls. And I got to applaud you for staying on in that lane to be respectful of yourself with the wisdom that's been brought. But that's what's missing in the African-American Asiatic community is that wisdom. Old school stuff. That's what's missing, and that's what's needed.
Now, I'm going to give kudos to the men who are raising somebody else's children because they are there, and they are rearing somebody else's children. So let's give them their flowers because they're good at what they're doing.
As well as those that are raising their own children.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of men that are busting their humps today to raise their own children because the mothers just walked away. That's they true. Didn't want the responsibility once they had their children. They wanted to keep running the streets and live free. So the dad stepped up and said, give me my babies.
Right. So that's what's going on now. You have women today that are trying to feel, if a man can do it, I can do it. And because there's so much out here today that is set that even I'm not trying to get into the sexist, but it said if he can do it, let me try it. Then those women that have been able to gain and be on that lane, they continue to go on. And you got other women that want to copy that woman. Before you know it, you got a different species of women that says, the heck with the child. Or if the child is going to be involved, I just want the baby and we're going back to my other life or my party and move on.
You know, I want to add to that. You know, it all, to me, it boils down to, you know, your upbringing. Women today, to me, they're more aggressive.
You want us to wait till you call us?
Well, no, not in that.
That was a good one.
I got to step back. Oh,
yeah, because see, when you come down to it, it's always the man that's stuck with, had to pay the child support, and he's the one that's looked at when there's two people that's laying down that take a responsibility. Her responsibility to make sure he's covered, because you're not trying to make no babies. It's not his. I mean, he's have responsibility to protect himself, but also as a female, she has responsibility to make sure he's covered and she's protecting herself.
That's right.
And that's true, but you have to remember again, it falls back to choice. And a lot of these women, if they've got a good-looking guy and they have this guy that they know on the inside is a really good man, then of course they're not going to make sure he's covered. Of course they're going to want a baby with him. Because if they get a baby with him, then that means he's stuck with her until she's ready to say, go away now, I've had my fun with you.
That's right.
So, that's right.
And women are toying with men. Straight out, women are toying with men.
That's why men are supposed to protect yourself.
That's right. That's why men have to, these men have to say, you know, I'm a strong man. I was given some wisdom. I was given some knowledge by the elders that raised me. And I'm not going to deal with these kind of women over here.
That's right.
And I'm not going to deal with this woman over here. Or if you have fallen and you've made the mistake of dealing with the wrong kind of women, that you are strong enough to bounce back and not do the same thing again.
You're awesome. You're awesome. Lady.
So what about the fear? Now, there's a fear here because sense fear. What if I'm alone? Well, it's Friday night. I should be jumping up and down. I should be. My grandmother said, when you can live with yourself, you can be by yourself. Whatever happened to that?
Wow, that's old school.
She was an old woman.
But that's real.
But she had four husbands, and she buried all of them.
Because of her wisdom. And she stood the court.
She stayed alive.
But nowadays, you got social media, you got the internet. I mean, if you only way you are alone is because you choose to be alone.
Correct. Well, what's social media got to do with me sitting at home on a Friday
because
night?
Because you got that computer that could touch every part of any country, any state in the world.
I don't want no computer. I want them breathing. I don't want no computer.
You can get them any way you want them if you choose to work it out like that.
What'd you say?
That's right. You can have them shipped to you.
Oh, heck no.
Oh, yeah. There's women out there that are hungry. Are hungry for men. They're catching the airplanes to come to a town where a brother is and get a hotel for a weekend, go out to dinner that night and talk to him, see what he's like. And there are women that have literally told me, the one she said she had a picture of a gentleman, and when she got to the airport, he was in a wheelchair. It wasn't him. It was his friend.
Shut up, Dr. Tim. Oh, I done took and told somebody to shut the heck up.
I'm telling you the truth. I met a lady that is a nurse, okay?
Oh, my God.
Nurse.
The sister said, oh, my God.
Hungry for men. She said, I'm tired.
Okay.
And she asked me, what do I have for emotions and disturbances? Because she was trying to take a test for her RN. She had been an LPN for 27 years.
Okay.
So I told her. And I said, what's been going on in your life? She told me the story. She said, I'm tired. I said, why are you chasing them? Why are you chasing them? Put out there what there is and leave it alone. Why are you going at your expense, at your cost, and then when he gets up to stand up, he's on a cane? I met another one, 71 years old.
You can't judge cause a brother's on a cane. He might be able to do something with that cane.
No, he can't. If he got diabetes and everything else, because there's one 71 years old.
Man, look, you are certainly got somebody in a box, because brother on a cane just means he's saving his energy for me.
How about that? Okay, that's a good one. That's a good one.
That's the truth. Roof.
But there's a lot of women out there, though, that are really, really, no jokes aside, that are really emotionally disturbed with the job, the peer pressure from a job, that they're hungry for even just getting a nice guy or somebody different than what they have been dealing with. But you got
Go ahead, sister.
Yeah, go ahead, sister.
Taking a step further, let's just put it out there. They're insecure as all get out.
There you go.
When you deal with an insecure woman, that wraps up all those emotions in one big bubble.
That's right.
That's
right. How old are you again? You say you are a sister. You said 38?
Yes.
Oh, you learned awfully quick, mama.
Now, let me just do this real quick, because we got to go there. You know, again, on TalkTavidRadio.com, we have hosts who address every issue we are talking about right now. And one of those, when we talk about old men with canes and wheelchairs, is Boomers and Beyond. Now, Sheila Canini is the host of Boomers and Beyond, and it's a show that explores topics that have to do with the issues that we all deal with, whether we're baby boomers or beyond. You got choked up. Mm-hmm. You don't want to. I got choked. That cane thing took me out. You don't want to miss Baby Boomers and Beyond, really, where you'll get valuable information on the issues that impact our lives. And it broadcasts Monday on TalkTainmentRadio.com. So, Sheila, the brothers with the cane, I'm going to need you to talk about that thing, okay? Men's health, men's sexual health, having to do with old brothers who still got it.
But listen, again, right. There's women out there that are tired. I met a lady 71 years old, looked like she's 40 years old.
Right.
She keeps herself together. She says she's tired of meeting men that they're on medication, they let themselves just go ragged. What is wrong with them, Dr. Terry? I said, sister, I said, there's got to be some issues to go way back. She said, well, it ain't no more. I'm tired. The last 4 years.
So then here's what, okay, sister girl, listen to this. This is what happens. Right, watch this, because I'm 63. Oh, I go get me a younger one, and now I'm a cougar.
Do what you got to do. Hey. Live your life to the fullest, baby.
Live your life.
Now you calling me a cougar because I want to get me a new car.
No, that's your label.
You're right. That's
there
your
goes
label.
That label.
What? Go on.
That's a label.
Okay, what'd you say, sister? What'd you say?
Wisdom comes in different ages. You know, now I do believe there are ages that are too young. However, mm-hmm. wisdom comes in different packages.
That's right. I agree with that 100%.
You're a bad sister.
100%.
She should be sitting at this table with us.
We'll see if we can get her to come here one time. Go ahead. So they come in, wisdom comes in different packages, right?
They do. They don't just come in one package. They don't just come in all the ages. You have a lot of young men nowadays that are wise. You have a lot of young men that do have that drive like our older men do, and a lot of them should.
Yeah.
You have a lot of the young men that way deal with these younger girls that just want, like I said again, want to be the hip-hop girls. And it causes them to become weary.
Yeah, that's true.
In actually finding a woman that is mature enough.
Well, right. here's my issue here. Being 63, now if I'm going to be a cougar and get me a new car, I don't want to raise somebody over again. So that barrier, that not even a barrier, that's the wrong word. The level, as far as how young is too young, mm-hmm. he cannot be the age of my son.
There you go.
However, yeah, so my son is 43. So he can't be the age of my son. Now I got this other window where I got to decide, well, then what is it that I'm going to entertain
with him.
Yeah, with him.
Go
so
and do and dialogue
we have
with.
To be evenly yoked. Isn't that what scripture says? You got to be evenly yoked.
Yeah, you got to be able to dialogue and talk to one another. If you can find one 50 years old that is on your level, then that's a blessing for you.
That's the issue also. Nowadays when people date, they don't conversate. Yeah. They might talk about media. what happened on Facebook.
That's why I said dialogue. You got to sit down and dialogue about the birds and the bees.
The birds and the bees.
The media.
Man, the birds is dead and the bees are on their way out. Let's.
I just thought I'd throw a little monkey wrench in there for a minute.
Yeah.
All right, Kim, go ahead.
Another direction. Instead of the birds and the bees, how about we have a conversation about politics? How about we have conversation about your religious beliefs? How about we conversate about your morals and how you feel about family life? How about we conversate about some of those things?
And looking,
here we go, baby sister, here we go. I'm in a conversation with a gentleman and I say, your checkbook, let's talk about that. Oh, heck no, she's a gold digger.
I mean,
no, but see, he got to know how to come back to that.
Let's talk about your 401k and your investments and your properties, and because I'm gonna keep it real. Ain't interested in a broke brother.
Yeah, well,
but both should be able to talk about that. Yeah. I should be able to talk about mine. You should be able to talk about yours. Now the question is, watching that body language to see if there's something else outside of that picture when you give the information. Because no matter what, if you got plans with that woman, it shouldn't be nothing. You should have to hide it. You should be able to bring it. Now they can't necessarily touch it and get it unless you're giving it to them. You're just having a conversation.
Baby sister, what you say?
You know, this is just me personally. I wasn't raised to really care too much about a man's finances, and the reason for that is this. If that conversation comes up, it will come up in time. There's no need for me to ask you what you've got going on in your bank account.
Right.
Because truth be told, even though I was raised to take care of my man, I was also raised to take care of myself.
All right, now.
So
I think...
What country are you from?
No, it's not about the country.